World's on fire, our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach.
Did we get disconnected?
Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning. Excuse me, what is it? The 17th. This President's Day? Is this like a holiday of some kind? Michelle, is it President's Day? I think it's some type of holiday.
Yes. Today, yes.
I think. But, you know, like I said the other day, they, you know, used to be Lincoln's birthday, Washington's birthday, and then they just combined the two of them so they could give us Juneteenth and all these other crappy holidays out there.
Martin Luther King Day.
Nothing against Dr. Martin Luther King. Where's Senator Robert?
Hey, Coach.
Hang on.
That's why President's Day became President's Day, because what they were doing when they were debating that issue is they combined the two holidays, Washington's and Lincoln's, and made it President's Day.
That's exactly right. Why isn't there a JFK Day? Why isn't there a Abraham? Well, why is there a Martin Luther King Day? I mean, really. So, boy, politics is in everything, isn't it? And I want to say, first of all, for those of you, I promised Trent that I was going to dive into Ephesians 1, but I got to tell you something. I got reading it, and I said, man, I got to do this first, so bear with me. And you know what's really, folks, look, I'm a coach. I'm a football coach. I'm not a theologian. I'm just not. But the Bible says that you don't have to be one. Bible says that the Holy Spirit will drive you and guide you into all truth. Guide you into all truth. And I was having a discussion. we went to Pastor Bill Dunphy in Calzastro. They had a celebration, getting out of jail celebration. It was Pastor Bill's birthday. We went to whatever. We went to New Beginnings yesterday for that party. And Cal was there, who just got out of jail. And Pastor Bill was there, who just got out of jail. And I was really humbled because I knew Pastor Bill's story. Cal Zastrow, Cal was a great buddy of mine going back forever. And Cal was in jail for prison for rescuing babies. He was one of the Tennessee 10, whatever they want. He was locked up. He was in, what do you say, 101 days. And I just sat there and realized, I'm talking to me now, really how deeply I'm not committed. But Lord, could I do that, Lord? Could they come and arrest me unjustly and pull me away from my family and lock me in jail? Can I do that and still serve you? Wouldn't I be somewhat ticked off? You let this happen to me? Where are you, Lord? Going to bed every night wondering if I was going to wake up, somebody going to come in the middle of the night, stab me. They were going to forget me, going to lay in here for 20 years. And to hear the testimony of Bill, I guess you deal with whatever you have to, don't you? But the testimony of Bill, testimony of Cal, really, really humbling. And I look at myself, because self-introspection is really, well, that's kind of, what's that word? That's saying the same thing twice. You can only do introspection on yourself. But you really look at yourself and you ask yourself, am I really all in? Am I really all in? I told a lot of you, just from my own personal standpoint, that for the last 2 years, there wasn't a morning I didn't get up that I would wondered if there was going to be those black limousines sitting out in front of my house. They're going to come and get me for what I didn't do at J6. Because we know this, right? It doesn't matter what you did. They're going to charge you, and then you got to defend yourself. You got to spend a bunch of money, and you might get off, even though nobody got off. Nobody got off. Everybody was guilty. Get up every morning and say, well, it's going to be me today, Lord. Is it going to be me today? And how do we get to the point where we permitted lawfare to be so real? The fact that there is no justice is injustice everywhere. And how can Cal Zastro go in there for 101 days and come out and be so alive? The opportunity to share the gospel. Pastor Bill talking about three guys who came to know Christ because he was in there. What's the value of those three things? Am I willing to lay down my own life? See, we're not even taught that in American Christianity. American Christianity today is all about Christ dying for you and me so we can have it better, right? Right? So I was humbled yesterday, sitting there listening to those guys and wondering if that moment comes where I have to lay down my life. Am I up to it? Big talker here, radio program, Coach Dave Lyman. Am I really up to it? Am I really willing? Are you really willing to lay down your life? Greater love has no man than this, and he would lay down his life for his friends. Really? Are you really there? I don't know if I am. I want to be, but I don't know if I am. And we thank God that wicked Biden administration is out of there. But if you think that trouble's over, dudes, man, I got some stuff I want to share with you today. And I just want to salute, Attorney Tom Condit, drove all the way from Cincinnati yesterday. I had an hour and a half with Michelle and I did with Tom Condit going back and forth to Warsaw. And just appreciate him that he drove all that way just to come up and Pastor Bill's birthday and see Cal and everything. And so I just want to acknowledge that. So why do you turn in here? Why do I turn in here? So I just told Michelle, I hate weekends because I accumulate so much stuff. And when we do Coach Dave Live, I try to figure out, am I doing Coach Dave Live to talk about the culture? Am I doing Coach Dave Live to talk about spiritual things? I think I try to blend the two. Hey, Spence, I don't know why. It doesn't matter. But there's nothing on my screen other than... There's nothing on my screen. There's nothing. I can see over here, but anyway, maybe you're going to fix that. Something other than that thing pop up for me. Yeah, at least that's better. Thanks, man. So I got a lot of things that over the weekend I've accumulated, but I want to take you somewhere before we do. Spence, I just sent you, I just did send Salem, Romans chapter 12. Michelle always says, give him more Bible. I was raised Catholic. All right. Maybe give them more Bible. I mean, I don't know about the Bible. Don't you have to be a priest and go to cemetery and do all that stuff to be able to tell people what the Bible says? No. Because the Bible was written for the common man. Common guy. I mean, you could pick it up and read it. And how long was it through the eons of time? Really was it? Think about this now. When men and the actual everyday man and woman in America could have a copy of the Bible. Anybody want to wager a guess as to how long that's been? Was it in the 1850s? Did everybody out on the, as the westward movement was taking place, did everybody have a Bible? Were there covered wagons? Was there a Bible in every one of those covered wagons for every person that was gone? When they were out there, those pioneers, when they were going up over those Appalachian Mountains and over the Blue Ridge Mountains, did they have Bibles? Was a Bible something that was available to everybody? And here we got Bibles and Bible apps and Bible programs and Bibles this and Bibles this and Bibles this and Bibles this. And people, can I tell you the truth? Average person going to church hardly ever reads the Bible on their own. Come on, you know I'm telling you the truth. You know that I am. And so the ones who do go to church and hear the Bible, they just hear what some other guy told them about, what the Bible pastor tells them. Here, I'm going to read this to you, and then this is what it means. And you walk away and find out. Tom Condit said to me yesterday, I'm not talking out of school, Tom. He said, he asked me, he said, Coach, what do you think about once saved, always saved? The doctrine. Tom's a very, very bold, committed, deep, old-time Catholic. Tom Condit is. So what do you think about once saved, always saved? What do you guys think about that? Once saved, always saved. Can I get saved, receive Christ, and then go out and murder people and rape people and still go into heaven? Because that's a doctrine, a lot of doctrine in the church, right? Look, I don't want to talk about that. I'm just showing you, all right? So I was doing some Googling this morning. I got a lot of great stuff. Hang in there with me. And Romans 12 popped up on me. And so I thought I was going to share it with you because it's the Holy Spirit. It's what the Holy Spirit gave me today. I was doing something entirely different. Michelle would testify to that, that I came out there and said, man, the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. He spoke to me on Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, brothers, that means sisters too, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is what's expected of you. It's your reasonable service. I want to stop right there and ask yourself that question, because Pastor Bill and Cal yesterday showed me what it looked like to present your body a living sacrifice. They were locked up in jail. What was it? Bill said, 4 days, no lights for four in their jail cell. No lights, darkness, 4 days. Beseech you there, brothers, by the mercy of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, only acceptable unto me, which is your reasonable service. Don't call yourself a Christian if you aren't willing to lay it all down. That's how I read it. And by the way, don't be conformed to this world. In other words, don't you dare get a Christianity that makes you want the things of the world. And you know that's much of modern Christianity, isn't it? The name it, claim it, bless me, gospel. Don't be conformed to this world. Everybody else is out there trying to get whatever they can. Look at Washington, D.C. And Paul said, don't you be like them. Don't be conformed to them. Don't be accumulating stuff and thinking this life is bless me, gospel. No, 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 no. You're supposed to be what? Present your body a living sacrifice. You're supposed to, yep, you're supposed to be a vessel that flows through. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the way you think. Don't, when you become a Christian, would you please stop thinking like everybody else? Will you stop it? Will you stop thinking like the common Joe down on the corner? Will you stop that? And then we watch churches come along and they manipulate that. And then they make the gospel all about name it, claim it, get rich, bigger, better, faster, wider, whatever. And it's the exact opposite of what Paul said. So be transformed. What does that mean to be transformed? You guys ever have those transformers? My grandkids used to have those transformers. You get those little men there like this, like this. The transformer, and you bend them and boom, and they transform into something else. Meaning, you used to be that transform, trans across form, change the form. That's what it means to be transformed. How? The way you think. If the gospel hasn't transformed you in the way you think, you don't have the gospel, man. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the way you think, the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what it is, that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Meaning, sometimes you got to go to jail. Sometimes you got to be hated. What? That's the perfect will of God. As Pastor Dunphy said, you know, he was in jail, however long he was in jail, 4 months he was in jail. There are three guys who now know Christ because he was in jail. Was it worth it? Was it worth his? Was that worth it? For I say through grace given unto me to every man that is among you, stop thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to. Can you say Congress? Thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to. But they ought to think soberly. Scroll down a little bit, Spence. According as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. What are you doing with the measure of faith that he's given? What are you doing with it? You can't be Billy Graham. I can't be Billy Graham. But I can be Coach Dave. I can live out what it is he's given me to do. For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same job. Dare I say it? Some of them, be careful, Lord. Some of us are rectums, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. Yes, many members, one body. All members don't have the same office. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. See, you can't take my arm. I mean, you can take my arm, but my arm is part of my body. Whether it's functioning or working or not, it's part of my body. Part of my body. And most of what we see in the modern American Christianity is you sit in the body, but you ain't nothing more than a small intestine that everything flows through. Heaven forbid that you would ever, ever be a mouth. Heaven forbid, or you'd ever be hands. No, the people up on the stage, they're the ones that do that, right? And so therefore Christianity becomes, and what does it become? Powerless, because we let the experts do it? Experts do it? See, I can read Romans 12 here, and through the Holy Spirit, I get something out of it. And you know what? You might read it and get something different out of it. That's the cool thing about it coming together. Say, you know what, Coach, I read that, but that's not what I read. Oh, it says here I'm supposed to present my body a living sacrifice. Doesn't say that God's going to give me all this stuff. No. Right? By the way, danger of denominationalism, in my opinion. One version of the scripture. And the Bible is so deep and so expansive that you just can't put it into, you can't lock it up down into one doctrine. Once saved, always saved. I don't know. Why would you want to lose your salvation? What are you talking about? Can a guy be on my football team? A football team. I'm the coach. I call it my team. Can a guy be on my football team and smoke and drink and carouse and cheat in school? Can he be on the team? Can he still be on the team if he does that? Yet in Christianity, you say you can. Sure you can. Present your body a living sacrifice. Go back to the first one. Are you doing that? I beseech you, therefore, brothers and sisters here at Coach Dave Live, by the mercies of God, are you presenting your body a living sacrifice? Holy and acceptable unto God, which is the least you can do. When you get up in the morning, you think about your day. Do you ask yourself, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Or do you say, Lord, I'm going to do this today. Will you bless what I'm going to do today? It's tough, isn't it, huh? This whole thing's tough. And we're in the midst of an upheaval like I don't know if we've ever seen. And the reason the upheaval is so big is because we went from in maybe a span of 150 years to nobody having the Bible to everybody having it right on you. I don't know how AI works. I showed you this the other day. Watch this. What does Romans 1 say?
Here's what I found.
And then it tells me. We went from people not even having a Bible to now you got an app. You just talk to it and it comes back to you. So we're in the information age beyond what we could ever imagine. Artificial intelligence, they now call it now. What time to be alive, man? It's right in the middle of all of us. And I get back to where I was. Well, it's been 20 minutes. To get back to where I started, I got to be honest with you. Sometimes I don't know. I was having a discussion with Trent. And he says, hey, Coach Dave, how about you taking this through? What scripture was it? Ephesians? I get reading this and my goodness. I said, whoa, hang on, man. Before I can talk about that, I got to talk about this, presenting my body a living sacrifice. So Trent, I'm going to get to it, brother, but I ain't going to do it cheaply. And because, you know what's really good about here? stream of consciousness. Bear with me a second. You know why people love this show? I think. A lot of reasons. You get to say what you think. And not only do you get to say what you think, you hear what somebody else thinks about what you think. And through that comes growth. And so when Tom Condit said to me, yeah, Coach Dave, what do you think about once saved, always saved? Hey, Spence, how quick are you? Did somebody know, Spencer, can you find out there in the Bible where it says that God will not blot out your name from the book of life? You guys know it says it twice. I don't argue once saved, always. If you're saved, why wouldn't you want to stay saved? Why wouldn't you want to? Can names be blotted out of the book of, huh? What's it say? According to Revelation
Psalm 69:28.
Revelation 3:5. Jesus promises that he will not erase. Huh? What? He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white remnant, and I will not blot out his name. Does that mean he can? Does that mean he can blot out your name? Why would you want it to? He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white remnant, and I will not blot out his name. Once saved, always saved? Well, I hope so. But looks to me like he can blot it out if he wants to. So I'm going to shut up a minute. I don't even listen. Anybody got hands up? Anybody want to say anything about that? You can, because I'm going to move on. I got some really good stuff. It's been a weekend, so I got all kinds of good stuff. Dave Allison, come on in then, Betty.
Yeah, good morning, Coach. It's great teaching. Spencer, if you could you bring up Luke 22, starting at 39?
Isn't that great? Hey, folks, when's the last time you've been in church and you were allowed to stand up and say what you thought? Go ahead, Dave.
This is Jesus on the Mount of Olives. And he came out and went as wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. He knew that even though that they were followers and believers, he knew that the temptation was still going to befall upon them. Why was that dangerous, right? But then let's keep going on here. And when he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. One more scripture there, Spencer.
David, what was that cup? What was that cup, Dave? It was going to the cross, right?
Exactly.
No, I don't want to do this, dude. Yeah, is there any other way? I don't want to do this. Go ahead.
And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. So what happens here is, culture, did God make us free will?
Yes.
He did. So when we were saved, we're no longer free will.
Good, Dave.
No longer. That's what you're telling me. That's your time. That's no longer my will. But even Jesus here, see, he was struggling. He said, if it be thy, remove this cup from me. Because he knew what he was going to go into. Jesus Christ was still free will. And that's why it says, and there appeared an angel unto him. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. An angel from heaven strengthening him. If we don't stay in the strength of our will, that's why people that become born again, murder, commit adultery, abort their babies. It wasn't that they never had a conversion moment. They're still free will. We have to choose this day who you're going to serve. So but once saved, I'm always saved. I'm no longer free will. My will does not matter anymore.
And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat were as drops of blood. Do you understand this? This is the Son of God still struggling against what he has to do. He didn't really want to do it, man. All God, all man, we don't know how that works, right? And he said, if there's some other way, can you take this cup away? I don't really want to have to do this, but nevertheless, I'll do it, right? Help me out here. Yes or no? Is that the opposite message you hear in church? Isn't it? Church is all about me, 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 my, I, me, 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 my hope, my dream. I feel better. Yeah. And so I was ashamed yesterday to listening to Cal. I said, Lord, what a coward I am. Lord, I don't know if I could do that. Betty.
Yes. I was going to say that we are to fear God and not fear man. So when I get in that situation, and I've thought of it a lot, you know, because the end days are here and you never know what's going to happen. Are you going to still fear God or fear man? Are you going to bow down to man or bow down to God? So I always tell them, I don't fear man, but I might be afraid. There's a little bit of difference. I'm not going to say I'm not going to be scared, because I am, but I believe God is going to also take care of me. And as I go down, I'm just be yelling out, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Betty, there's nothing wrong with being afraid. There's something wrong with staying afraid.
Exactly.
Courage is conquering fear. It's not lack of fear. If you weren't afraid, it don't take any courage, right? And so that's really where the dilemma most of us are in life is, do this, do I, Lord, or do I not? Because why? We want so much not to make a mistake. We want to do it right. That's when we come to the crucible of many decisions in our lives. And do I or do I not, Lord? Help me, Lord. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. Ah, cool, man. All right, there's your Bible teaching for the day, Trent. And I'll get to that other thing. I want to show you some other stuff that's been going on. You know, it's hitting us so fast. It's hitting us so fast. And I had a little bit of time yesterday. Do you guys ever watch those? What do they call those? Hey, Spencer, what do they call those little blurbs they put on Facebook? What are those called? You know, you do a little, not a little track. What are they called?
Shorts.
Reels.
Reels. Thank you. Reels. I was looking at some reels yesterday. I thought, man, I got a bunch of little reels today I want to try to connect together here with you, okay? Things are moving so fast. COVID was 4 years ago. 4 years ago. How many people you know who died, whose life was 4 years ago? And things seem to be accelerating. John Lovin, come on in, John.
Hey, thanks, Coach. I'm going to give a different perspective. Most people probably would have disagreed with me, but that's okay. You said the show's open. I like what Chad says. Chad says, you know, the good thing about Coach's show is it's an open platform. And he says, you know, the bad thing about Coach's show, it's an open platform. So, Spencer, I don't know if you have the 1984 NIV, but if you could turn to Hebrews 6. I'm going to read out it. I like reading out of the NIV, but I always reference the King James. Sometimes you lose stuff.
Why do you say 1984?
Well, the NIV was changed after 84. So was the Amplified. And it's really watered down after 84.
You mean the Bible says that? The Bible says that I believe that says that I can't do that? Can't use that, John?
Well, yeah, I say you can, but, you know, you got to study to show yourself approved. That's why I have parallel Bibles. I'm not a theologian either, but I got an idea what's in this book, and it's changed my life.
Okay.
Anyway, if you can't, just bring up the regular. I'm just going to start at verse 4.
Of what? Where are we?
Hebrews 6, 4.
Hebrews 6, 4. Okay.
Is it possible for those who have once been enlightened, who have tested the heavenly gift, who have shared in the Holy Spirit, who have tested the goodness of the Word of God and the power of His coming age, if they fall away, to be brought back to repentance, because to their loss, they are crucifying the Son of God all over again, subjecting Him to public disgrace. That's personal apostasy. How do you fall away from something if you weren't in it? And if you go to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that's corporate apostasy. I'm not going to read that, but that's just my perspective. I think 1 John, the book of 1 John, he says, at the conclusion of it, he says, I write you these things that you may know that you have eternal life. If you're not sure if you have it, John wrote that entire book, the entire book of 1 John in regard to that. But I think the message of once saved, always saved is giving a false hope to many of God's believers. And gives them a license to do whatever they want to do, and everything's going to be fine. You know, well, I could just keep going on and on here, but
John,
that's the way I see it.
How about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Is there fear and trembling in the modern American church, folks? Working out your own salvation? Is salvation a process?
Is it something? Thanks for letting me share, Coach.
Yeah, yeah. It's a process, isn't it? Temptation every day. Every day. Every moment of every day, many times. Temptation to do right, to do wrong. It's always there. Amen. Amen. Something to chew on. Okay, let me give you some other good stuff here today. So I've been out getting some of those, what are they called, Spencer? Those?
Reels.
Reels.
Reels, thank you. Some of those reels. Because time is moving so fast, we forget, don't we? Don't we forget? So I just got, Spencer's got one of them up there. And I just want to share some reels with you today. Now, look, we're finding this out from Elon and the boys that, by the way, have you noticed how they're trying to now, they're really trying to discredit Elon by saying he's got another child out of wedlock. He doesn't, probably does. You know, he isn't married. He's got like 9 kids, right? But isn't it amazing how they're doing everything they can to discredit him? Discredit him. So don't ever forget, the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. And don't ever forget that the battle is between truth, Jesus Christ, and the Father of lies. That's the battle. I don't care where you are. That's the battle that's raging before you. And as we found out through all of this doge, the media is owned. The media has been financially owned. The media has. The media has been government media. Back when 30 years ago, anybody old like me remember that? When we used to look at Russia and say, oh, well, that's just propaganda. Those poor Russians, they got propaganda. And all of a sudden to wake up and understand it's here. We got propaganda. What the media is owned by the deep state. It's coming out just clearer and clearer and clearer. And you're being vindicated. Because why? Because the Holy Spirit, during this whole mess, has continually guided you to truth. And how does the Holy Spirit guide you to truth? It just pops up as a question, doesn't it? Golly, should I do that? Honey, should we do that? And then you try to filter it through the Holy Spirit. Truth, lie, what should we do? And thinking about how many people who, do you guys ask yourself this question? I do. Funeral, people dropping dead everywhere. What's the first question you ask yourself? Me? Anybody with me? What's the first question I ask myself when I see another friend died? What's the first question I ask anybody?
Wonder if
Did they get the shot?
Did they take the shot? Did they take the shot? And are you going to go ask? Should you go ask somebody? Did he take the shot? Are we going to ask that? No, we're not going to ask that, are we? And because we won't ask it, then a lot of people remain in the dark. I'm going to hold on. Lorianne popped her hand up there. Go ahead, Lorianne.
Good morning, sir. I'm confused, so I need somebody to help me understand here. They want to say that Elon Musk, the culture does, wants to say that Elon Musk has got this illegitimate kid, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, our culture is filled with nothing but single home parent homes where dads don't want to even be in their kids' lives. And if by something that he was with this chick and she was pregnant, and all of a sudden now, why is all of a sudden this chick saying, oh, now he's got a kid? I mean, I have an illegitimate
gold digger. He's a gold digger.
Right. So why isn't it just call it what it is? I mean, seriously, one second, because I'm so confused. One minute, I'm the bastard, excuse me, and if I'm going to offend someone, it's not my intention. you know, that has this kid, and I can be beat and dragged down the streets of the center aisle of the church because I'm a single mom and I have an autistic child, and you know, I didn't get married, and what's wrong with you? Yet you can do that. So please, somebody help me to understand why it's this.
Well, here's good news. He's pro-life. He could have afforded an abortion, couldn't he? He's pro-life. That's the way I look at it. They're doing. Oh man, I get what you're saying, Lorraine. I'm gonna go a different direction. John Morehouse, come on in, John. Just heard a siren go by out there outside. Go ahead, John. Vinny.
Well, I'd like to say that what Laura was trying to say was they got outmaneuvered. They're trying to criticize Elon for having a child, right? Are they insane?
Well, you have to be married to have children now? When did that all of a sudden start?
Right? What is this? This sounds like hypocrisy to me, Coach.
Yeah, it sure does. Sure does. But see, they try to pull upon our morality because we think, no, he shouldn't have a child out of wedlock, right? Christian. So that's the target. That's who they're after, right? That's who they're after. So let me go here, okay? So I want, look. 4 years of hell near hell with the Biden administration, the Luciferian administration. Let's never forget. Now that we know, looking back over our shoulder, that they have, Doge has shown us they own the media. Anybody question that anymore? They absolutely owned the media. Don't ever forget this. Go ahead and play this.
You are the problem. It is the unvaccinated who are the problem, period, end of story.
The only people that you can blame, this isn't shaming, this is the truth. Maybe they should be shamed, but the unvaccinated.
It's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks.
Anyone you came into contact with will blame you, as will the rest of us who have done the right thing by getting vaccinated.
Because frankly, we know that we can't trust the unvaccinated.
I think it's time to get our moral house in order, Anderson. It's the unvaccinated who are the threat.
All those vaccinated folks are gonna start wearing masks to protect the unvaccinated folks. It's called a Christian value.
You're basically punishing the vaccinated for the sins of the unvaccinated.
People are not behaving honorably. The unvaccinated are basically saying, well, it's open season for me. I can do whatever I want as well.
The unvaccinated are basically beating their breasts, running around the country saying, ha, we don't care, we're living free, and so forth.
We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin.
The unvaccinated, a group that includes children and people acting like children. And the rest of us are starting to get pissed off.
The vaccinated feel the unvaccinated are making me upset or angry.
This is not about freedom or personal choice.
Well,
who are the...
We forget, don't we? We forget. I'm not done. Paul Webb, come on in. I'm not done.
Hey, Coach. Remember when they used to call us grandma killers because we didn't get the vaccination?
That's right. That's right.
What was the first place that they quarantined? Nursing homes.
Yeah.
And all the older people started dying. You couldn't see your grandmother, or grandfather. You had to go through window.
Yep.
So who were the grandma killers?
Hey, Paul, why do we want to kill those old people? Anybody know why they wanted to kill those old people?
Because they're the older generation, they have appreciation for what this country was about.
That's true, but that's not what I'm thinking of, Paul.
Insurance. Well,
insurance.
Social security payments. Yeah. Huh? Oh. always follow the money. Always follow the money. Then I saw Liz Wheeler. I don't know if you guys know Liz Wheeler or not. These are just some of the things I was looking at this weekend, okay? Go ahead. What's Liz Wheeler have to say?
Dr. Fauci gave gain-of-function research funding to EcoHealth Alliance, who then subcontracted that funding to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, where the COVID-19 virus was unleashed on you, on the world. And then Fauci lied about it. Dr. Fauci pushed remdesivir, which is deadly on severely ill patients, and he knew it. Why? For profit. Fauci lied about hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin being effective against COVID. Why? Because if he admitted their efficacy, he wouldn't have been able to obtain emergency use authorization for his experimental vaccine. Fauci also knew that masks were ineffective, but he lied to us to mandate masks on us and on our children. Fauci knew his pet mRNA vaccine was dangerous and ineffective, but he lied to profit his buddies, and then he forced it on you. Fauci is a criminal of the highest degree. He committed heinous crimes against humanity, and now he's got a security detail funded with your taxpayer dollars. Joe Biden pardoned Dr. Fauci because Fauci is a criminal. But Biden's pardon doesn't stop states from charging Fauci. Republican attorneys general in red states bring charges against Fauci if you care about us. Otherwise, you are no better than Biden brushing Fauci's deadly crimes under the rug. Dr. Fauci.
Wow, Okay, I got another one I got to hit you with. Then I want to show you something. We've got to, look, man, I'm telling you, the devil is real. This is one of the most wicked things I believe I've ever seen. Pull up number one. Pull up number one. Okay, are you ready? Are you sitting down, friends? This is the Columbus, this is Channel 10 our, in Columbus, Ohio. Our big, they're CBS, aren't they? Big CBS affiliate chose to do this story. Are you ready? A man came out as gay at 90 years old. And they're going to show you the love story of this old man at 90 years old. See, the media thinks this is honorable. I was watching it. Michelle watched about 30 seconds of this and was throwing stuff across the room. Our local media. Well, just go ahead and play it. But hang on a minute. By the way, homophobes, this ain't about whether or not I'm for homosexuality or against homosexuality. I'm trying to show you how you're being, we're all being manipulated. Go ahead. Well, I hate commercials. Is that what it is? Okay, we'll get it. I don't know why I can't. I don't get it. Right there it is. Why can't I click on that and play it?
They say love shows up when you least expect it.
I really wasn't looking for love. I'd given up.
And for some people, it can take longer than others.
I mean, I've almost 90, who's looking for love?
But whenever you do find it, everything can happen all at once.
At the end of the date, I'm like, I don't want to let go of you. I want to spend the rest of my life with you.
It was real quick.
Like all good things, love takes time. And for Ken and his husband Johnny, self-love had to come first.
Okay, get it off. Guys, you understand the propaganda that we're dealing with? Put it in the chat. You can watch it on your own. A 90-year-old man coming out of the cold. Oh, by the way, he has a family. He was married, has children. It's everywhere you look. Okay, I'm not done. Go to number three. I think maybe you did that. Go to number three. Play number three. Sick. It's sick. It's sick. I'm sorry, Spence. Didn't hear you. Number three. Just a bunch of real. I played that one, didn't I? Let's go to number five. Let's go to number five.
You know, in a ski resort in the Alps, which is probably the most expensive town in the world. I was not there to ski, for the record. But the whole town is Ukrainian. You know, all the visitors are Ukrainian, and they're rolling into Hermes and dropping $1 million in an afternoon, okay? So it's all through Europe you see this. The richest people are the Ukrainians. That money is ours. It belongs to me and you and every other American taxpayer. That's where it's going. Second fact, not guess, fact is Ukrainian military is selling a huge percentage, up to half of the arms that we send them. Half. And I'm not guessing about this. I know that for a fact, okay? Not speculation. And they're selling it, and a lot of us winding up with the drug cartels on our border. So this is the, this, this is a crime, what's happening. Our intel agencies are fully aware of this. You tell me they're not profiting from this. Of course, you think CIA is not profiting from this? Yes, they are. I can't prove that, but I believe that. What, they don't know this? I know this, but they don't know this? They know this. And no one is saying it. Like, no American seems aware of this. We're sending these arms to Ukraine, billions, hundreds of billions of dollars, and it's being stolen and sold to our actual enemies. Like, what the? I'm trying not to swear. What is this? I had a meeting at, you know, in a ski resort in the Alps, which is probably the most expensive town in the world. I was not there to ski, for the record.
I'll get you in here, Wes. Get you in here. I just want to show you a couple more of these, and then I'll open it back up. Play number six. Obama's crap in his pants. Go ahead.
We're seeing Obama this miserable, this unhappy, and it's not even anxious. He looked like he was worried that the world is going to find out something weird. By the way, today I got a very weird minute from a guy who says, hey, I just want to tell you what I think is going to be happening. I said, what's that? I don't know if it's true or not. Okay. He says, I think there's going to be a lot of people taking their lives. I said, what? He said, I think there's going to be a lot of people that are in there the last 4 years that they know they're going to be exposed, and you're going to see a few suicides. I said, what are you talking about? Oh, by the way, that thought has never crossed my mind until he sent me this minute this morning, and I'm responding to it.
That's awful.
And I said, where are you going with this? So he's saying, look, if the truth comes out of what they did and who was involved the last 4 years, that becomes public, how do you face your wife? By the way, this is kind of like what people did in the stock market a day after 9/11. That's money. You lost everything, right? Here, if any of these guys, the look they gave when I watched some of their faces, it was a look of somebody that's worried about something being exposed to the world and their legacies being affected and their kids, family, everybody who ever supported them, knowing you did something wrong. I've never seen a...
Point number eight. Here's why they don't want Kash Patel. Go ahead.
I and his organization, his Department of Justice, his attorney generals, none other than the famed Barack Hussein Obama. If you go back and study, you'll find out that this man right here was behind the lie of the Russian hoax. Yep, he fed it through Hillary Clinton, everyone. These things are well documented. This is why they're fighting desperately to keep a guy like the attorney general from ever taking position over our FBI, rather, not attorney general, but over the director of FBI, and that is Kash Patel. They don't want him there. Why? He's talked about issues like this. They don't want a Kash Patel to expose a Barack Obama, a Hillary Clinton. Why? Because it would cause their momentum to probably crash and burn permanently. Barack Hussein Obama, outside of the accolades being the first black president, he will go down as one of the most failed presidents ever. Why? He was inept and he was feckless. He unleashed such a deluge of legal precedents against then candidate Donald J. Trump. I'm talking about
go ahead, Dinesh D'Souza. Go ahead. I'll get you in here. This last one. Go ahead.
It's not even right to use the term government waste. This is me. It isn't government waste. It's corruption. The Democrats aren't incompetent. They're thieves. They aren't stealing government money. It's your money. And I think that this scandal, which is not even really at its peak. This is just the beginning. I mean, Elon Musk has picked one corner of the government and basically shone a light there. But there's so much of the government that is unexplored. It's not even right to use the...
Boom. Wes, come on in. I got more. Go ahead, Wes.
Hey, good morning, Coach. Two things. Did you see that we have people that are over the age of 200 and 300 drawing Social Security?
Yes, sir. Cashing the checks. Cashing the checks.
Oh, yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to say is, did you see that over the weekend, 500 homes in D.C. have now become available for purchase?
Spencer, see if you can find that. See if you can find the map of the homes for sale in Washington, D.C., which, by the way, has some of the highest real estate in all of the United States in Washington, D.C. Folks, the rats are running off of the ship, baby. Huh? They're running off the ship. I don't know if Spence can find it or not. Yeah, that it had a picture of it. Doesn't matter. Is this coming in? Interactive? Yeah, that's sort of it. That's not it. I'm sorry. Good point, though, Wes. Dale, go ahead.
Hallelujah. I got to hit. I have to type my bullet points here. You know, you're going so fast in your show, coach, right? You're going so fast with information. Calzastro, right? Pastor Bill Dunphy, they're a special kind of Christianity, coach. Yeah. That's not your typical everyday American Christianity. Coach, there are 43 verses that speak specifically on being blotted out, all right? That little video of the 90-year-old man, I'm sorry, I got a little vomit in my mouth on that one. Elon Musk is more pro-life than most many Christians. And lastly, right, come on, I don't want Elon Musk to have my social security number. I only want the IRS, my job, the DMV, my bank, the hospital, university, fishing and hunting license, car dealership, credit card companies, insurance companies, mortgage companies, financial advisors. That's these right. People I'm okay with having my social security number, but I don't want Elon Musk to have it. Thank you.
Yeah, we're in the middle of a revolution for sure, brother, and it's still open as to which side's going to win, man. Oh, they got all the information on us. They don't want us to have any of the information on them.
Hey, where's Vinny? That was a boom, Dale.
Judah, come on in, Judah.
Boom.
Yeah, it's just absolutely fabulous. But we see, D'Souza even mentions it in his message there. You know, he says Democrats. Well, the pants are getting ready to be pulled down right when we get to this Gerald Ford topic. And the JFK commission and everything happened there. And you are going to see a full out butt spanking of the Republican Party, which are the rhinos. And I'll lead even with Tony Perkins. You guys are going to be flabbergasted when you find out what these people did for a dollar bill. Ooh. Absolutely flabbergasted, because every church that's been taking money needs to be spanked, put in the corner, and people never go back to their churches that they've been supporting. It's an abomination, beyond an abomination, for what these people were doing to mislead people with their version of the Bible.
Amen. Amen. Their own little club, right? Their own little. I look. Hey, Judd, I could go on and on about what is it? Pastor Networks. By the way, on the screen right now are houses for sale in Washington, D.C. If you're interested, you can get one real, real cheap. Huh? Oh, yeah, the rats are running off the ship. Oh, yeah. So I kind of double circled around that thing. Pastor Networks. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Kevin Van Story.
For the love of money is the root of all evil.
Well, it is.
200 listings in Washington, D.C. in the last 4 weeks.
And you're a real estate guy, right, Kevin? You're a real estate guy.
That's right. 5,038 listings in Washington, D.C. currently right now. That's the highest it's been in 22 years. So, but and also, Elon Musk started PayPal. How many have not used PayPal? Just saying.
Amen. They blocked me, though. Thanks, Kevin. Joe Allen.
All I can say is I'm glad to be part of the NASCAR crowd this weekend. Enough said.
Boom.
Amen. Amen. Johnny.
Yeah, George Carlin said, yep, people, they got their own little club and you're not in it. And now I rephrase it to be, yep, they got their own little club. Be grateful to God that you're not in it.
So we know, John, we know this, folks, come on, tell me you know this now. Republicans and Democrats are in it together. They're in it together. And one of the amazing things that's happened, we do know this, don't we? That the Republican Party, had the Republican Party had their way, they would have never let Trump be voted. They would have never let him be elected. Because if you think that the Democrats are the ones stealing all this money and the Republicans don't know about it, come on, you're born a night in that last night, right? Huh? They all know it. They're all in on it. Right now, it all appears to be exposing the lefties. Wait till you find out who somebody earlier said, wait, do you find out the money the government has given to churches to control churches? Oh, my goodness. Randy.
Yeah, that's what I want to say, Coach. I want to verify that Judah is 100% right. He's speaking prophetically this morning, Coach. These things are being exposed very timely. It's been a long process, Coach, but you have to let the crime play out. You can't get in. You can't let it. You got to let it play out, and that's what we've done. And also, I will verify with Judd that the fake churches, that all who are complicit with all this, they've taken the money, all the false teaching, been proud of it. They're going to go down right with it. So you're getting ready to see a beautiful, beautiful judgment coming on our country.
All right. So I'm going to show it. Number seven, pull up number seven, Jack Posobiec. I don't know if you know Jack or not, huh? Hey, folks, listen. There is a difference between vengeance and retribution. So here we have to ask this. I was talking to Pastor Bill and Cal yesterday. They destroyed Pastor Bill. Now, if Pastor Bill were to sue to get his money back, is that vengeance or restitution? Because, see, Christians don't, we're so stupid, we don't even get it. Restitution means to be made whole. And if Pastor Bill Dunphy were to sue to be made whole, many in the church would say that's revenge. See, we don't understand justice, right? We don't understand justice. Jack Posobiec, go ahead and play this.
Oh, and the Cheney family, they got deep pockets, doesn't the Cheney family? And how did the Cheney family make their money? Yeah, Dick Cheney, I mean you too. For the money out of Halliburton, from the dirty blood money of sending our boys and girls overseas on a lie to wars that we never should have fought, for the lies that were done, for the lies that they're telling now to spread more war in Ukraine, war in Syria, war in Iran. Guess what, Cheney family? We're coming for your money. We're coming for every last dollar. And maybe, just maybe, we don't stop with the J6ers. How's about we get the wounded warriors along as well, and every single wounded veteran, every single Gold Star mother, every single Gold Star father, and we start going after them as well. And then I thought about Abby Gate, and I thought about the 13 honored dead of Abby Gate, the 13 dead that Joe Biden and Jake Sullivan and all the rest lied about on the way out of Afghanistan. And you know what? How about personal lawsuits against the Biden crime family and all the money that they made out of Ukraine, all the money that they made out of China should go to the families of the Abby Gate victims? Because it's not good enough. You understand? It's not good enough to simply pardon people. And it is not good enough, but believe me, it will be good when we actually start locking up some of these lawbreakers. Oh, it will be good. But it's not good enough because the debt must be paid. And let me tell you something. The debts will be collected. The debts will be collected. Because that is the only way that you can achieve balance. That is the only way you can achieve reciprocity. And making America great again means that we have to make sure that the next Liz Cheney and the next George Soros and the next Nancy Pelosi and the next Chris Ray are terrified of doing what the predecessors did before and will never, ever think to break the law or go after the American people ever again. Oh, yeah, yeah. Don't forget Alejandro Mayorkas, too, by the way. There's another name for you. And when we talk about justice, I don't mean justice for these folks. I'm talking about justice for Ashley Babbitt and the truth about that. And how about justice and the truth comes out for Corey Compatore of Butler, Pennsylvania. Because when those Secret Service agents didn't fire, when those Secret Service agents weren't given the duty and weren't given the budget and weren't given the resources that they needed for Butler, Pennsylvania, yes, President Trump was saved by a miracle. But Corey Compitore's family deserves answers, and Corey Compitore's family deserves to be made whole for the father that they were not able to bring home that day. Oh,
boom! See you tomorrow.